Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company this afternoon. Welcome along. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars. So for you, it's time to take 25. Put your feet up, pour yourself a cuppa, or maybe something even stronger, and join the conversation. I don't know where to start today. Do you know, I've been running around all day long. I'm starving. I haven't had lunch. Like everybody wants to know that, but there you go.
Oh,
it's one of those days.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, like you mean it.
I'm having the most fantastic time with all this bizarre weather. I love storms. I just love them. I used to love sitting out on a rock and just watching the sea after a big storm, you know, and it's so interesting to see all the different things that happen in storms. I do reckon our weather is changing more like other people's.
Well, that's true, because I mean, when I think of, and we were talking about this last week, weren't we? When I think of Auckland, we're a lot more humid now than what we used to be, so maybe there's a kind of shift. Do you know, but I do laugh. Hey, there's always two sides to a story, isn't there? But I always kind of think of people going, oh, global warming, we're not doing well, you know. And then I think way back, and hey, it might be a story, but the stories come from somewhere. But I think of Noah's Ark. Everything flooded, didn't it?
Exactly.
So is it just one big cycle? It's just changing and going to come around again.
Very well could be, because I remember being in the Southern Islands in northern Indonesia part there, or sort of the middle of Indonesia really, and very, very sort of isolated little villages. I've lived on these islands all their lives, and you know, the sort of slowly growing right out to the edge of the island, but the island has been slowly getting smaller and smaller as well. Now, that was back in 98,
wow.
94, 98 when I was doing that. So the islands were, you know, the atoll islands that were very low were slowly being taken over by the sea way back in those days too. And I don't think they even mentioned global warming back then, did they?
No, but that's interesting, isn't it? Because that's just something that's come up recently again, and I can't remember which islands it is.
Yes, well, it's because the Prime Minister's going out to the islands in the Pacific because the Chinese have got so much interest in them, and Tuvalu and all those islands are now...
Tuvalu?
Is it Tuvalu or...
Is it Tokelau?
Sorry? Is it... Have I got the wrong name?
Tokelau.
Tokelau. Sorry, Tuvalu is way up in Papua New Guinea. Yes, sorry, got the
that
wrong
sounds
island.
Sounds like it's coming out of a children's storybook.
No, Tuvalu is right up in the northern part of Papua New Guinea. Just got the wrong place. Wrong. Yeah, Tokelau is. But I mean, that's been slowly disappearing for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
All the Pacific Islands have. So what are they going to do? Move them all down to New Zealand?
Well, I don't know. We might sink them as well.
Oh, there's some big people there, I must admit. But, I mean, the Chinese are talking about building military bases on these islands. They're pouring money into them so that they can get the right to build military bases. So all these roads and churches and schools, and so we could have the Chinese parked right outside our back door.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, they're not that far from our back door anyway.
Why would they want to? That's what I just don't understand why they would want to.
I suppose there's all some strategic planning in there somewhere, and it'll be which waterway you can get to or which flight path you can get. There must be
power play going on all the time. But I got to go back to the lightning strikes. It reminded me of when I was in Singapore and then in Malaysia. I'm sitting in this little marina in Singapore, and we're sitting on our boat, and we're watching the lightning comes down straight, like it comes from the sky to the land, whereas in New Zealand you normally see it race across the clouds, you know, horizontally, whereas it just comes straight down up in Singapore. And we were sitting there, you know, nicely sheltered, glasses of wine and all sorts in our hands, and thoroughly enjoying the display that's put on. And then the boat next door to us, it had a massive amount of reflectors all over the boat, which are supposed to reflect the lightning out into the water so it doesn't... I reckon that they actually attracted the lightning, because this boat just got this massive blast, came straight down. The whole mast and everything just got lit up like a little balloon, and it punched a hole right through the bottom of the boat, and the boat started sinking right beside us.
Oh, dear.
They're all sitting there going... Did you see that? It was amazing.
Hey, tell me about these reflectors. I haven't heard of them. So these are things that, so theoretically are meant to?
Years ago, I mean, this once again is back in the 90s, and a lot of the American boats would put these things on the end of their cross trees, so that if the lightning hit the top of the mast, it's supposed to go out the spreaders and be dissipated into the sea from these reflectors that were put on the end of the spreaders. But quite frankly, I don't think they...
Well, it didn't work for that boat, did it?
No, it definitely didn't. Really, lightning just is such a powerful force. Who thinks they can control it, you know? I mean, come on. I saw this other little boat. It was really funny. This was up in Langkawi in Malaysia, and there was another big storm, and we had nowhere to go. We had to stay where we were, and there were a lot of boats in the bay, and there was this tiny little boat called, now I'm probably going to get this name wrong too, Oka Unka or Unka Oka, something like that,
which means
Donald Duck in Swedish or one of those countries, you know. it was just a fabulous name, and it was a very small boat. She was only about 25-26 feet in the middle of all the rest of us who were, you know, 40 plus around her. And so she was parked right in the middle of all of us, thinking, okay, all these big boats with these big masts are going to get the lightning. The only boat in the bay that got hit by lightning was Oka Unka.
Oh.
The only boat. And we sat there, and we actually saw the lightning hit the mast, And so I called her up and said, do you realise you've just been hit with lightning? And she said, no, we haven't. We haven't heard anything. And next thing, she calls me back half an hour later. The lightning had come down and blown all the fuses out of their fuse box, and every single electronic thing in the boat was fried, but no other damage.
Isn't that interesting,
Isn't very, it very interesting what the way it moves.
I know, because I know when I see, when, you know, a storm's coming, I turn off my printer, I turn off my computer, and it doesn't matter how many of those surge power thing points you have, for some reason it will always start. I have bought so many printers, you know, because it's just stuffed them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. And it's always with that weather, so it's got to be something to do with the weather. They're working perfectly. And so we'll have a power cut or a surge. And where we are, we have huge amounts of power cuts. And it's, I don't know whether it's just keep surging, but those surgy things don't do too much difference either.
It must be the surging that does it, because...
I think so, yeah. But it's interesting how that lightning obviously gets attracted all that power and stuffed all her power little bits up as well. Yeah.
Can't you get some sort of isolator or transformer or something for a house, though, that stops the power surging?
They say they do, but, and I think we've probably got one, but it's just, I don't know, our power supply is just awful, and you know, just so, it's just, maybe it's just so many surges.
Right.
All the time.
That's funny. You know, why is your power supply so awful?
Well, it won't be soon, because we're on that solar, so it won't matter. So,
yeah. Yes, I was going to say, it's just wrong, though, isn't it? I mean, it's, you're not that far out in the country, so why can't we supply decent power?
Oh, no, it's just the trees.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So anywhere you go with trees, and trees around power lines, they're not, they don't work well together, I'm afraid.
Okay.
You know,
definitely
they
not.
Blow, yeah, so it just arcs them out and stuff like that. So, but yeah, no, bring on that solar. We'll have that shortly enough. Shortly enough. Does that even make sense?
No, it doesn't. No. Are you going to sell it to the power company?
Well, we don't actually want to.
What are you going to do with it? Just store it in
batteries? Well, we'll just have it and use it. Yeah. But
you'll probably make far more of those than what you use.
No, you don't, because they've cottoned on to that. You now become a commercial customer when you've got too much to give back, and then you get bugger all for it.
Oh.
But anyway, the problem is, if you stay connected to the grid when there's a power cut, your power actually goes out. So go figure that. So you have to be totally on battery to be self-sufficient. So it must override it, and it must be a safety thing.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
very interesting.
But no, it'd be quite nice. But, you know, and again, interesting, people saying, oh, well, it's so expensive, you know, you'll never get your money back. And I thought, well, if everybody says that, it ain't going to happen, is it?
So, if you're just paying for yourself, you're getting your money back.
Oh, exactly. And that's what it's about. But I've been past a few schools lately, actually, with signs outside saying we're solar. Which is pretty cool. Now, doesn't that make sense?
I
with
reckon,
all of this kind of budget that has to go into education, if they don't have to pay those huge... Because the power bill must be huge for schools.
In the schools, yes.
So let's get some solar panels up there.
Yeah.
You see?
No, I totally agree.
God, it makes
totally
sense,
agree.
Doesn't it?
And, I mean, look at all the houses that we've got. There's some countries you go to in the world and the whole roof is just covered with solar panels everywhere, and that's the common look.
Simple,
nowadays, yeah. Like, I had a young lady come and stay with me, and she looked at the neighbour's house, which her roof is pretty much covered with solar panels. And she said, goodness me, why does that woman have so many solar panels? Oh, that looks ugly. I said, and it just, you know, it just makes you think of what people are used to seeing and what they're not, and things we get used to, like lightning, you know. I mean, it's just really interesting seeing what other people get used to.
You know, you're so right. And here I'm going to have a wee bit of a rant, because I feel like a rant today, because my tummy's still grumbling. Do you know, because we live out in the country, when you live out in the country, you live there for a reason. You want to get out of the city, and you just want to go back to, you want to be able to see the stars at night, you know, with the dark sky. You don't want to see any other lights around you. And we've just had a little property that's been sold off by us, or a little bit of land. And so they've built the house quite close onto the road, and they have these big spotlights that they left on, and I'm like driving home and I'm like,
why?
Turn them off. If you don't need them, turn them off. Light pollution or whatever you want to call it. I was just like, maybe I have to go and educate them of what it looks like, you know, what it's like living in the country. But then again, that's my bugbear. You know,
what have they got spotlights for, though? What
I have no idea. And they may be security lights that had come on, but they stayed on. I don't know. It might, but they were so, so bright.
They're going to be on all the time if they're security lights, because the possums are going to be setting them
on. I know. So I might have to go and have a wee word to them and say, yes, welcome to the neighbourhood.
Or do it a little bit differently. Bring them over for some of your homemade goodies and wines and things that you're so good at.
Kill them off.
That you're so good at, because it's fabulous going to your place for that. But make sure you sit them out on your balcony and have all your lights off so that they can see the stars, because they probably aren't even aware at how awesome it is when there's no city lights to pollute them.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to my neighbour who's been there for a lot longer than us, and he was saying that the night sky has changed, and even where we are now, because of all the lights in the city and the kind of growing kind of suburbs,
it's getting further and further out.
That sky is not that dark sky anymore, because we're getting that reflection way off there. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, we sailors have actually talked about it. I haven't done an ocean crossing from New Zealand for quite some years now, but in the past you only needed to go about 6 to 8 miles off the coast of New Zealand to start getting into the beautiful black sky where the stars feel like that you can just about touch them. You know, there's so many of them, and it's just beautiful. And it's only getting away from the city lights that creates that.
Yeah.
And now apparently you have to be further off. The lights are all getting stronger. They're different. They're not the same type of lights that they used to be. They go further. And it's more that the glow of them into the sky somehow. I don't really know enough about it, but it's getting harder and harder and harder to see the beauty of the night sky without any lights around.
And I think that's one thing New Zealand's done well, and I really hope that they stick to this, but down at Lake Tekapo, where they've got the big conservatory, they've made a perimeter, an imaginary perimeter of, they can't have any more houses or lights. So they're keeping that night sky unpolluted, unlight polluted, or whatever you want to call it. Because when you go down to Lake Tekapo, that's where you can see the southern lights as well. But the sky down there, if you've been down there in that area, just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's fantastic that they're doing that. Yeah. I saw something on TV of the southern lights. Or whatever. It was gorgeous. Apparently it was amazing. Most unusual.
I don't know if they're as good as the northern lights. That's on my bucket list, actually, the northern lights.
Me too.
Wouldn't that just be amazing?
Me too. Go up and fish in this little place in Antarctica and sit there catching wild salmon and see the northern lights.
I think that would be just amazing. I think I've got to get that. Actually, it's about time I revisited that bucket list, actually.
Okay, I need to too. Actually, that just reminded me about, I was researching this a couple of years ago, and then I went and did Machu Picchu instead. But there's a elderly Alaskan lady who's gone and retired up there, and apparently many years ago the Americans had some great big huge military facility up there, and it's this massive great big dome, and so they've moved everything out, but this dome that's made of aluminum and glass and can't get my word up today. Was just left there, and so she's taken it over and turned it into sort of a little hostel thing.
Fantastic.
And she takes you out to check the wildlife and go for walks and fish through the ice and watch the night sky.
We'll have to put that up on the Facebook.
I'll have to go and find her again.
That sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. You had to fly in. You couldn't go by road or anything. The only way you could get in by it was by helicopter, I think it was. And she's got this, I hope she's still around, she's got this house that's just in the wilderness. She just lives out there. Amazing woman. Yeah, amazing. I love people like that. I love going to places like that.
Yeah, no, that would be absolutely amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, well, it's time then, I think, we started to revisit. Okay. Actually, I'll tell you another thing that's on my bucket list, and I can't even do it this year. Gosh, I stuffed that up. Was the Melbourne Cup. I've never been to the Melbourne Cup. I just kind of like the whole fancy fun fair of that. I remember in England, I went to Ascot, got all dressed up with the hat and everything else, and I just think it's something, I don't know, it's kind of something that I want to do. And anyway, so do you know what I did? I went to my travel agent. I said, Michelle, put me together a package. And so she did. And then I looked in my diary and I'm working the day before on the day. So not this year.
So you didn't work that out very well, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, I keep getting sidetracked because at the moment there's this amazing thing going on Groupon. You know that online, there's Grab One, Groupon, those.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I've heard of that one.
Okay. And they are selling these trips to the Great Wall of China for $1,100, which includes, it's 11 days, includes all accommodation, airfares and meals.
Fantastic. Just go for it. No, don't go for it yet. Not if you're going to walk up there. Just wait.
Why not?
Just wait for your knee just to get just a little bit right, because it's the walk, even if you, we didn't have a huge amount of time up there, so we took the, oh, what's that thing? You know when you're on the ski field and you go up?
Right. Gondolier or...
Well, you could have a closed gondolier and then you'd have the open one, the chairlift.
Right.
So we, because we didn't have enough time, we took the chairlift up. But even when you're up there, walking the wall is not that easy. So I would just wait for your knee a little bit. Make sure you get that right before you go.
Okay.
But then take the luge down. They've got a luge.
So it goes down?
Yeah. So much fun.
You know what would really interest me is if somebody created a wonderful trip where you actually hike along the base of the wall from one end to the other.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting.
Be through tons and tons and tons of terrain and
forest.
And wild bears and lions. And
probably so, yeah.
I mean, I just think it would be an awesome thing. Everybody goes and gets on top of the wall, but that wall is an amazing wall.
It goes
from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
And from one end to the other. So, you know,
we wouldn't see you for years.
That's okay. I can do that.
But it certainly is a place to see, and when you do see it, the pictures don't do it any justice whatsoever. It is just absolutely mind-boggling of how they actually put that together. But one thing I did find in the part, and obviously there's lots of different parts of the wall you go to, is just the steps, and sometimes the steps are kind of that
really
quite deep, and then other times that you're almost climbing up the step because it's so deep. But you think if they had horses up there and everything else, it is mind-boggling. So just grab it, but just watch that knee before you go there. But then if you've got all day, you can just take all day, or you can take 2 days.
I don't think you're allowed to. No, you've only got a very limited. You only get these passes to go and visit the wall for the specific length of time that you've.
We're going to read about you in the paper because you're going to sneak in there and you're going to try and get through those passes.
I'd be thrown into a gulag.
You'll be all right because, they'll still fingerprint you. If you're over 75, they don't fingerprint you, but no, you're not that far yet. So they'll know exactly where you are. Hey, but why don't you share with us what's on your bucket list? It'd be great to see that. But we'll find those few things we've been talking about today and put them up on our Facebook page. And in the meantime, we'll just have a little dream and just pretend we're there and we're not just sitting here working. And we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
When that wind's cold, I'll meet you there.